Hi, friends. This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're looking at the seven last words of Christ from the cross, and this is word number six. It is finished, based on John 19, verse 30. Let me read the verse, John 19, verse 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit, John 19, 30. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what Jesus completed for us on the cross. Help us to understand it. Help us to grasp it. We are thankful, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' journey had begun in a simple stable in the city of David 30-some years before. Now, it was finished. What was finished? What was this mission that was now finished? Why did Jesus come? Let's look at how Jesus defined his mission and later how his apostles understood it. We read about his commission to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring life, to destroy the devil's work, to bring fire upon the earth, to testify to the truth. But each of these seems like a means or aspect of this ultimate purpose, to save us from our sins. Consider these purpose statement verses. John 1:29, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." 1 Timothy 1:15, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And 1 John 3:5, "But you know that he appeared so that he might take away sins." Jesus had a very clear view of what lay ahead of him. He used two metaphors: to drink the cup, to partake fully of an event, and to be baptized, to be immersed fully in the event. Let me read four verses. Mark 10:38, "Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" Luke 12:50, "But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed." Luke 22:42, "Father, if you were willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." John 18:11, Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" The cross, in all its horror and in its redemptive power to bear the sins of the world, hung heavily on Jesus during the last days of his flesh. His struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane was the climax, the point at which he surrendered finally to the Father's will. And now the cup had been drunk, the baptism completed. It was finished. Look again at the passage. It is remarkable in how it repeats one singular idea: completion, fulfillment, finishing. John 19, verses 28 and 30. Later, knowing that all was now completed, teleo, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, teleao, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished, teleo." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. These three words derive from the same Greek root, telos, which means end, primarily a termination point, then by extension, the end to which all things relate, the aim, the purpose. Completed, finished, accomplished, in verses 28 and 30, is the related verb teleo, to complete an activity or process, bring to an end, finish, complete something. Of time, it means come to an end, be over. Moreover, the tense of this verb is important to us. Perfect tense, tetelestai, is the word. In Greek, the perfect tense signifies a past action the effect of which continues into the present. It has been completed and is still complete. The effect of the tense of this verb is a sense of finality. In the last couple of centuries, scholars have found thousands of papyrus scraps with Greek writing. Many of these are mundane commercial documents in which we find this word. Moulton and Milligan pored over many of these receipts and contracts to better understand the New Testament Greek. They observed that receipts are often introduced by the phrase tetelestai, usually written in an abbreviated manner, indicating that the bill had been paid in full. The obligation had been completed. The debt had been paid off. Tetelestai. It is finished. It is clear from Matthew and Mark that just before Jesus breathed his last, he cried out again in a loud voice. John gives us the content of this loud cry. It is finished. Those who are defeated go out with a whimper, but the victor announces his victory loudly and broadly. It is finished. The victory shout of Jesus echoed across the small flat hilltop and to the world beyond. It is finished. It is a cry of accomplishment, but it is also an announcement of obedience fulfilled. This shout began in the painful will of the Father, the cup, the baptism, the suffering, the cross. It is finished, announces the full obedience of the one who, though equal with God, in the words of Philippians 2:7-11, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Make no mistake, the ability to say, "It is finished," to the Father's commission was not the beginning of some kind of glory road, but the end. It was the final culmination of a life of obedience, humility, and suffering that now ushers in a new era. When we meditate on this sixth word from the cross, what should we learn for our lives? This is what I see. First, we are to live lives of purpose. Unless Jesus had a purpose, a mission to complete, the words "it is finished" would have little meaning. He wasn't speaking of his earthly life that was finished. In fact, his life has no beginning and has no end. Rather, he is speaking of that which the Father had instructed him to do. Our lives may not be so clear, so purpose-driven as Jesus' life. However, I believe that one of the signs of maturity in our lives is to discern our spiritual gifts and abilities, and then order our lives so as to maximize what God has given. Jesus told the parables of the talents and the pounds. In each case, success for the servant was to trade with what the master had given him in order to produce the largest possible outcome for the master, given each servant's unique talents, time, and circumstances. The reward was to hear the master say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Second, living lives of purpose requires us to focus on our priorities. Instead of living scattershot lives, we are to be marksmen that aim carefully at the target and make our shots count. This requires focus and discipline. It means saying no to some choices so that we can say yes to opportunities that are even better. Third, to be able to say, "It is finished," as Jesus did, our lives must be marked by obedience. Jesus is God, but in his early life he willingly obeyed. Philippians 2:8, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Paul put it this way, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Obedience is the opposite of independent action. It means living in obedience to God, not to ourselves. Finally, to say it is finished, we must be willing to suffer to achieve God's purpose for our lives. We continue in the sunny summer days as well as the stormy winters of our lives. We don't just give up because things are difficult. We are willing to suffer whatever is necessary to complete the Father's plan for us. It is finished. Let's pray. Father, I've wasted much of the momentum of my life because I've tried to go in so many directions. Please corral me so that I will focus on your purposes and your direction for me, that I might finish this life well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.